Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
We got the championship games coming up. We're going to talk about it. As much as Bruce Arians has butted heads with Tom, and there's been different moments that you kind of chuckled at as you saw that relationship unfold, Todd Bowles a hell of a defensive coordinator. And Tom Brady knows how to win.
Only two timeouts left. The clock is all the way down to 40 seconds left and running. After that 23-yard completion, Lazard, and now a sack by Jason Pierre-Paul. That is the third sack by this Tampa Bay defense. While this Green Bay offensive line's been very good, the Tampa Bay defense has some answers for it.
JPP's gotten after him a couple times now.
He's really made Turner almost anticipate the snap count. Here's a pick by Murphy Bunting. What's it going to be on third and goal? Rodgers moves, throws, pass broken up. Adams a target, well defended. With that stop, the field goal try now by Crosby of 26. Instead of going for it here on fourth and goal, Crosby makes this a five-point game again.
I'm really surprised by that decision, Joe. I thought that they would go for it on fourth down. You're just not sure with Tom Brady that they will get another shot at it.
Here's the snap and an end around to Godwin. Godwin running to the third. He's got the first down across the 40. Bucs are going to win this football game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be the first team ever to host a Super Bowl. The Bucs have punched their ticket to Super Bowl 55.
If you're a Bears fan, you have one instinct this weekend, don't you? And I don't want to speak on behalf of Bears fans, but don't you have one prevailing thought in your head? It is go Bills. You are a proxy member of the Bills Mafia this weekend because that is the only team it doesn't hurt to watch. You're kind of sick of Brady. You certainly are sick of Aaron Rodgers and everything Packers. You don't want to watch Patrick Mahomes celebrate anything. You're tired of that show. So now it's like, go Bills.
Second and goal at the three. Mahomes down 9-0. They throw it left side to Hardman on a wide receiver screen into the end zone. Touchdown! Chiefs in the shotgun. Edwards-Helaire started right, now left. Edwards-Helaire diving right side. Touchdown!
All right, Jim, here we go again. This is... Let's see your motions. Let go and then get the ball to the flat quickly. Somewhere crossing.
Lobs it up in the air to Kelce. No one near him. And he knows... That was likely the knockout punch.
The Chiefs Kingdom captures the trophy and it stays here. Yes, the Chiefs are back-to-back AFC champions. And the Super Bowl 54 champions are ready to run it back.
I want to take a moment to tell Bears fans, we understand your frustration. We're frustrated too.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yes, indeed, Super Bowl 55 is set, and Tom Brady leads the Bucs back to Tampa. Amazing game, 31-26, really good football game. Good win over the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And my goodness, the second game didn't live up to the same type of hype. It was okay early, but David, That fell apart pretty quick for your Bills Mafia, and it's Kansas City, now favored in Super Bowl 55. How you been? How was the weekend?
Morning, Molly. Happy Monday. Yeah, good weekend. Excellent to have a couple days. The matchup, I'm not sure that we expected. I didn't expect it. I thought the Packers were going to prevail. But here we are. We have a Super Bowl between the quarterback the Bears didn't draft in 2017 against the coach the Bears didn't hire in 2013. And, boy.
I prefer to think of it as the quarterback the Bears didn't hire. Right? It didn't draft. And the quarterback they didn't sign as a free agent.
Okay.
Because couldn't they have done that? Isn't that
probably
that?
So. Apparently, yeah, they were in the mix. But, yeah, yesterday was, you know, when you – I know last week I said I was sick of Tom Brady, but we definitely have to acknowledge what he did and what he has done and how remarkable it is, Mully, in doing that in the first year – of being a Buccaneer. This is the scenario that every team that considered signing Tom Brady envisioned, imagined, kind of forward, right? Is like, okay, sign him, we'll get to the Super Bowl. And rarely does that happen in sports, though, where the best case scenario comes true. And this is the best case scenario for the Buccaneers and Tom Brady.
Well, I think it's a pretty extraordinary ride that they've been on. I mean, you get Tom Brady to go there and others follow because he's Tom Brady. But fact of the matter is that he comes in and teaches you how to win. Tom Brady signs with Tampa. He goes down there. We're in the midst of a pandemic. There is no real off season. There are no practices. Tom goes down and starts having these workouts at the high school, at the local park. They're even banned at one point, and they're secretly working out. Tom Brady taught that team how to win, and in the midst of a pandemic where everybody is kind of waylaid and unable to have an off season, he somehow figured out how to connect, get together with these guys, begin the process of learning to win before any kind of off-season even happened. He made it all happen himself. He served as his own coach to a certain extent. Obviously, that led to some issues, but it also led them to the Super Bowl. And I think we've seen a team that has gotten better. And what an extraordinary story to win three road games to
yes.
get your home game in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Absolutely
and
incredible.
It's among his greatest achievements, and he's had a ton of them. This is his 10th Super Bowl. We all know that. He's got the six rings. And yet what he did in going down to Tampa and conquering those challenges you described, Molly, he had to create these relationships quickly. Now, he had relationships with certain guys, with Gronkowski, but not really everybody on that team. They had to accept him, and he had to make sure that he was the leader that you know they thought that they were getting, and he was, and it wasn't easy. At one point in the season, weren't they 7-5? And certainly the Bears beat the Bucks. Okay, so you know they struggled a little bit. The Bears beat the Bucks, a team that won the NFC. We'll talk about what that means later, if it means anything at all, but it is – one of those things where you just look at and behold Tom Brady, because you have to give him the credit that he has earned in leading this team to the Super Bowl just the way everybody thought that he could, and certainly everybody in Tampa imagined he would.
I wonder what it's like in Boston this morning. I wonder what sports radio is like in Boston this morning as they contemplate what could have been, what should have been, how you let the GOAT go, how a guy like that stands above a franchise. Does this answer the question of coach or quarterback? I don't know that it's a happy conversation this morning.
In Boston, that's what I think the conclusion is to be drawn, is that, you know, Brady greater than Belichick, right? That is probably what this says to many people who were Patriots fans and longtime observers, because that was the question going into this year. Who was going to win without the other? And if you had this breakup of the marriage, who was going to thrive in their second act? And so we got the answer. And I don't know if it's that simple. I really don't know if it's that simple. But
right.
I'm not sure who it was that said yesterday. People didn't go to New England to play for Bill Belichick. They went to New England to play with Tom Brady. And I think that was something to consider. I'm not sure I agree with that entirely, both are great, but yesterday I think Tom Brady got the upper hand in the comparison.
And, of course, the Chiefs, you look at that game, they trail by 9 points, right? Should have been 10. You miss an extra point nonetheless. The Bills up 9-0. And as we saw last year throughout the playoffs, score doesn't matter because they score at will. And you see Patrick Mahomes, he ended up with 325 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Travis Kelce with a huge game, 13 catches, 118 yards, and a couple of those touchdowns. And Tyreek Hill operates at a different speed than the rest of the world, and he had 9 catches, 172 yards. And they are just an unbelievable offensive machine.
They are, and there's a different speed, and they're at a different level offensively. They get what they want. They make it look fun. And they execute, and it all starts with Mahomes, but he's got some weapons. You know, that is a very talented backfield, the receiving core. You know, look at what Hardman did in terms of muffing the punt return and then coming back. And it was almost like Andy Reid was committed to making sure that he forgot that quickly, and he was still dangerous. And Tyreek Hill, it's like a video game. It just is something else. And this is really something to watch, the offensive prowess of the Chiefs, because Mahomes does seem to be at a different level. And I don't know if the Bucs, as well as they're playing defensively, can handle that challenge. There's plenty of time to break that one down. But I thought the Bills would be a little bit bigger of a challenge. I really thought the second game was going to be better. As it turned out, it really wasn't that compelling after, the Chiefs opened it up.
And lo and behold, the Bears had breaking news on Friday evening. They did indeed name Sean Desai as the new defensive coordinator, internal hire. He had been the safeties coach, and Desai, a member of the coaching staff since 2013, really bright guy, obviously, came in with Tressman as a quality control coach and moved his way up, became an important contributor, shall we call him, to Vic Fangio. Fangio wanted to take him with him. That's a nice thing to have that on your resume. And he stays with the Bears, and now he is their defensive coordinator. And we will question where that is at, because Ted Monachino is the outside linebacker coach. He's apparently leaving too. So you got to get a defensive line coach, and you got to get a linebackers coach, and you got to get a I don't know what passing game coordinator. Do you need that?
Well, I don't know if you need a passing game coordinator.
You need
Molly.
Another QB coach.
Do you really need a fourth quarterbacks coach? I mean, I do respect to Dave Ragone, but wasn't he here because Mitch still was? Wasn't that a big part of retaining Dave Ragone? He was the Mitch whisperer, if you will. Look, they have a lot of turnover on their staff, and that was they wrapped that up at the end of the week. And Sean Desai is a really interesting candidate. But people probably hearing that for the first time might be driving or listening at home or wherever they are, and they think, did he say hired by Tressman? Did he say that? Is Mully right? Yes, Mully's right. Hired by Tressman. Think about that, Mully. This guy is a survivor. He has been here for a very long time through a lot of turmoil, adversity, however you want to describe the last 7 years or so. But, yeah, this is a guy who worked his way up, and I'm curious, and I want to know more about Sean Desai. It's an intriguing hire.
It's a very intriguing hire, and he, as I said, super bright guy, and I'm lucky enough to have talked to him. I think I talked to him at the news conference. We introduced all the coaches. We were in the bubble, David, if you recall that. Mm-hmm. I have a very distinct memory of having a chat with him. But there's a lack of practical experience. Right. So this is a case of a guy that has, you know, an incredible amount of knowledge, that understands things, a really bright man who can communicate, but he hasn't been a play caller in the National Football League. And that's what a defensive coordinator is.
Right. But when you say you communicated with him, he's got 2 degrees. Isn't that intimidating? No, what were you guys talking about?
With him. I was just chatting with him. And he's telling me his backstory, and I was just like, wow. And let me tell you something. You know, hopefully we'll have him on at some point, or you hear him on the station. He's a really bright guy. I mean, he's the kind of guy. When you're that kind of a guy. You can articulate, you can speak to people, you can tell immediately if someone is copped on, if they understand what they're doing, and he does. But I also think there is a practical matter of being in the situation and understanding what a team's likely to do and being able to call defenses and shift out of defenses and change what you're doing to match the situation. I think he can do it, but I'm just saying, from a practical standpoint, he's yet to. He's yet to do it in an NFL game. So that's going to be something to keep a close eye on.
Fair enough. And dare I say, he is the only defensive coordinator in the NFL that will have had or has a master's and a doctorate in education administration. And he earned those from Temple, where he got those degrees, and then he went on to a coaching career. And so I am curious as well, because it's an entirely different field and it's an entirely different skill set. And you wonder about those relationships, which, you know, I think that it could be a benefit from him. He certainly was a popular internal candidate. You saw some people coming on, speaking out on his behalf. And then the Bears went that route over some other guys. And now they have some work to do because they're filling a couple other holes. I'm curious to see if they will go with the youth or versus the experience, because they have some questions defensively. That unit regressed, and that has some very good talent on it still. So I'll be curious to see how Desai shapes out the rest of his staff, like everybody.
And you know, again, I hold the guy in high esteem, and I'm not saying that we need to kind of underline the idea, but when you say they decided to go with the internal hire, they probably had to go with the internal hire, right? Because you want to keep some sort of continuity with the defense you have if indeed you need to win next year. You don't want to be trying to change a system when, what we talked about before, the idea that you can't really get an off season at this point. We don't know how they're going to be able to get together. So I don't know that they had a great amount of choices outside the organization that would have made sense given their situation.
That was a choice they made, but I think that you could always find somebody who's a veteran, and I don't want to use him just as a symbol of what I'm talking about, the Greg Williams type, the guy who is sort of this vagabond who goes from team to team, and you can adapt quickly. They chose to go internally for the continuity, and I think they feel like probably they have talent that just has not reached, did not reach its level or reach its potential this year. So they're hoping that the guy who knows these people and has been around them since the Trestman era can tap into the right thing.
The get out your scorecard and take down this name. Matthew Stafford is the name. He is the Lions quarterback. Now scratch it out. I don't think they're going to trade him within the division, but it looks like they're trading him. So Matthew Stafford, you won't have to worry about him. Why are you sighing? Why did you sigh in the midst of my sentence?
I'm sorry if I sighed. I'm trying to watch the audible sighs here. Look, Stafford doesn't mean that he's going to the Bears, and it doesn't mean that the Bears are going to trade for him within a division. I don't think you see a lot of those kind of trades, but it's a game of dominoes. And wherever he goes, you know, Indianapolis, San Francisco, as Bigsy writes today, looking forward to talking to him at 6:40, that move could precipitate other moves, which could affect what goes on with the Bears and their quarterback situation.
Fun weekend for the Bulls. They had a big win. They got three in a row. And then they ran into a kind of a buzzsaw in the Lakers. They understand maybe now how far away they are. I saw that I believe the line was at 9.5 at Bet Rivers. They went down 30, and they came back and lost by 11. They were close. They were a bucket away from covering.
And LeBron was still complaining about the referees.
Oh, that's what he does. Blackhawks. We can talk some Blackhawks.
Wow.
They dominated the Red Wings in a pair of games, the second of which was pre-football yesterday and very enjoyable.
Yeah, it definitely was fun to see good hockey. I know it was against the Red Wings. Everything is relative. But when this Hawks team, as bad as they looked early, win two in a row, hey, enjoy it.
And your guy Conor McGregor, back at UFC 257, he's got some accusations on his name. I don't know if you're following it, but he's also got knocked out. That was a second round TKO. Another, I'm going to let it go. Another love TKO. Teddy Pryor.
Has he woken up yet?
Oh boy. All right, we're going to get to all of these things. We're going to talk about more. We've got the five, the six, the pick six. Good God. We've got that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What do you make of the Bears promoting Sean Desai to defensive coordinator to replace Chuck Pagano? Are they a better team with Desai calling the defense? How involved will Matt Nagy be on that side of the ball?
Fascinating to think about Matt Nagy's role and whether he's going to be kind of the head coach now, because you would imagine that that you don't hire a guy without great experience in the role and think that he's not going to need some sort of help, oversight, some sort of look-in type thing. So I would imagine that Matt Nagy needs to be more involved with what's going on with the defense than he maybe previously has been. And I hope that will translate to him leaving the play calling elsewhere and just sort of being an overlord to his entire team. I think that would be a good idea. I don't know that we can say that they are suddenly better because they had an internal hire. They've also probably lost two other coaches off the staff. So you need to hire three staff guys in order, three assistant coaches in order to fill out that staff, right? You got to hire someone to be the safeties coach, and you got to hire someone with the outside linebackers and, of course, defensive line. So at this point, I think it's hard to say they've gotten better, but maybe when we get a look at the entirety of the team that's put together and we see
what Sean Desai can do as a play caller, maybe we have a better feel for it, and maybe we believe that they have gotten better. I'm not saying they can't, but the lack of experience, certainly a little bit of a concern.
There's a lot to like about the hire of Sean Desai. You're right about the inexperience, but I like the fact that he's the first Indian American to be a coordinator in the NFL. I like that he worked his way up from being the quality control guy. He reminded me a little bit. Remember, Ron Rivera started back there. I'm not saying he's going to be a head coach, and he certainly isn't Ron Rivera in the context of Bears history. But I like guys who work their way up, and then they get an appointment like this one. We know he's smart. He's got 3 degrees, not 2, as the texter pointed out. He's got 2 additional degrees besides his bachelor's. This is a smart guy. We'll see how that translates on Sundays. We know this about his relationships. He's got them, and he's built them within the Bears locker room, and we'll see what that matters, because a lot of defensive football, you know, it is about all those things, relationships and effort, mentality, attitude. We don't know how he's going to call a game against Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, or how he's going to match wits with the Bruce Arians or somebody like that. But at first, I like the idea of having an outside voice coming in to challenge these guys who have been underachievers, guys like Eddie Jackson, guys like Robert Quinn. But maybe Desai will find a way to get through to these guys because of those relationships, which I think is what Matt Nagy is counting on.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Would the Bears have made the Super Bowl if they signed Tom Brady instead of trading for Nick Foles? Didn't Brady have the Bears on his shortlist? Why didn't the culture vultures pursue the GOAT?
Oh, boy, that's the culture vultures. That is funny. Monsters of the Midway become the culture vultures. Well done. All we know is that Dan Patrick said on his radio show it was the Bears, the Chargers, and the Bucks for Tom Brady. He reported that back in October. I think that was a surprise to a lot of people in Chicago. We assumed that wasn't going to be the case. We talked in terms of how outlandish the possibility was. Why would he come to Chicago when he wanted to be, you know, closer to Boston and wanted the warmth, and maybe California, it's his home state? The Bears didn't make sense. I don't know what effect he would have had on the Bears. I would have liked to think that they would have followed that move up like Tampa did with other moves. Look, we can talk about Tom Brady, and he deserves everything we say, all the plaudits. But then came Gronk, and then came Antonio Brown, and then came Leonard Fournette, and they drafted a tackle. They did everything right so that one day Tom Brady could find Scotty Miller in the end zone and make him look like a guy that is a hero. So they did everything right after that move. Is it realistic to think he could have done the same for the Bears? Probably not.
Listen, the Bears had no interest in Tom Brady because at that point they wanted Nick Foles to run the scheme. This was a scheme decision. Would Brady have come here? We could talk about life choices, all the rest of it. First of all, Tampa seemed like a perfect spot for the guy, and I acknowledge that. Nonetheless, why didn't the Bears pursue the guy? Why didn't the Bears go after the guy? There's an arrogance with saying, well, we don't need that guy because we've got this scheme, and look, we can go get this guy. So I think that's a question that sits there and is one worth contemplating.
Pick six.
Is Aaron Rodgers' legacy damaged in any way by his failure yesterday? Any idea why he didn't try to run for the end zone on third down at the end of the game? Why didn't the Packers go for it on fourth down?
Boy, that was so perplexing. Watching him at the end of the game, when he gets, are you audibly sighing again? Did you let out a sigh? Go ahead. I'll pass.
No. Wow. Go ahead. It's just like, wow. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say he should have gone for it.
Well, the hardest two plays to explain, and that was what I think you wonder, did the Packers win the game, or did the Buccaneers win the game, or did the Packers lose it? And I think he could have gotten – the way you heard it explained afterward, you wondered if Rodgers on that third down thought he was going to have a fourth down, right? And so he trusted his arm for reasons he's – in the past he's been really – he have reasons to trust his arm. But Matt LaFleur, I don't know. That's tricky. I didn't like his explanation. Rodgers' legacy is secure no matter what happened yesterday. Matt LaFleur still riding his. And he's going to have to win a Super Bowl, I think, to live this one down.
Can you believe this? Pick six.
What is your initial pick in the Super Bowl? Who will be the MVP of the game? What is your favorite Bears connection?
I think the favorite Bears connection would probably be Dave Tobe still on the Chiefs staff. I don't know that I'd like to go out and I'd like to pick the Bucks. Early predictions are tough. But I think the Chiefs are better than last year, Molly. I think that they are actually – they've won more close games, and they're still as explosive as ever. They spent the second half of the season winning those close games, one-possession games. There's not very much Bears connection to this game, I don't think, except for the Mahomes angle, which everybody's sort of tired about. So I think the Chiefs, it's going to be very difficult to beat them.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs look like the team to beat, and it's a reason they're favorited. I'll be cheering for Tampa. I think it's a really cool story to have a team that that got there with three road wins to get to a home game. I just like that little twist to it. But I think the Chiefs' offense is just phenomenal. Todd Bowles is really good against Aaron Rodgers, right? He is kryptonite for Aaron Rodgers. And I thought that I'll be very curious to see how they match up defensively against that team. I'm not sure how anyone matches up defensively against that team, but that will be really curious for me to keep an eye on. The Bears connection, you know, it's definitely Dave Toe, but I also think that you're going to look at Mahomes and Arians and all the what could have beens with the Bears. There's a lot of them on display in that game. And, of course, Matt Nagy came from that Andy Reid offense, but can't seem to duplicate it, which is okay. Hard to do something like that. Takes a lot of time. But that probably I think the MVP of the game will end up being Mahomes or Brady. Brady would be the MVP even if he throws three picks.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Did the Bulls have a good or disappointing weekend? Where are you with this team in the short snapshot of this season?
Like the Bulls a lot. Like watching them, enjoying watching their team kind of grow. They could have three more wins if you really just stop and look at it and think about it. They're learning how to win, hopefully. Look, you know, the interesting thing is you get this kind of little bit of belief growing and you're like, oh, this is interesting, and look, they can score, and what? And then the Lakers come in and you're like, oh my God, are they outclassed? That's just a better team, and there's not a lot you can do about it. I like that they stuck with it. I like that they stayed in the game after going down 30 and they didn't surrender, but they really had no chance in that game. From Jump Street, you just looked at it and they were just outclassed.
Pleasantly surprised. I think the record is not what you want it to be necessarily, but the way they started 0-3, you'll take it. Coaching matters. Billy Donovan is the star of this organization right now. Rebuilding teams, they have to find sort of the sweet spot, the balance between rationalization and accountability between what happened Friday night and what happened Saturday night. They win their third in a row for the first time in 2 years, and then they sort of exhale a little bit, and then the bottom falls out. So that's a difference in watching that Lakers game between kind of the teams that are the destination and the journey. You know, the Bulls are on the way. The Lakers have already gotten there, but at least we can enjoy the ride.
That is a pick six!
How much has Kevin Lankinen impacted the Blackhawks' three-game point streak? Is the Finnish goalie your favorite rookie, or is Pew Suter getting ready to overtake him? How great is it to have the Red Wings back in your life?
What a good debate to have. I mean, you have whether or not you're impressed more with the young goaltender or with the rookie from Switzerland. I think that Suter yesterday, it's rare. 1933 was the last time you had the guy score his first NHL goal and have a hat trick in the same day. The Hawks were fun this weekend. It was Detroit, but it doesn't matter because the Hawks are sort of in developmental mode, regardless of what the standings might say this weekend. It's early. They need somebody like Suter to emerge. It's like Kubalik did last year, and it's still fun to watch Patrick Kane play at the top of his game because he just makes it look easy.
Patrick Kane just puts the puck on sticks in front of goal. Incredible. He is just fantastic. Had a great game yesterday. Had a great game. He's had great games all the way along. You know, I want an update on Taser. I want to know what's going on. I think they need him back. But Kevin Lankinen has been really impactful. He's had three starts, and he's had two wins and an overtime loss. So that's been really a total lift to this team. And again, it's the Red Wings, and it's great to have them back because you don't like the Red Wings, and you like to see the Hawks beat the Red Wings, and the Hawks seemingly can't beat anyone, but they can beat the Red Wings. So great weekend for the Blackhawks. Really fun to watch that game yesterday. Just so much fun to have that. Among the many wondrous moments in sports yesterday, Man United eliminating Liverpool. Who didn't enjoy that? You see the Blackhawks win, the Loyola Ramblers win, the Green Bay Packers lose. It was a great, glorious day to be from Chicago and follow the Red Devils and the Ramblers. Yeah, fun stuff.
Red Bigs. Bigs time. Bigs. With Mully and Hall. Bigs time. The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs. Bigs time. Biggs. His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he's brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's we got a Super Bowl. You got the Bears with a new coordinator. I mean, it's just we are overwhelmed with news this morning. So much fun.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear Tony Romo at the end of the broadcast of the AFC game last night? He said, you know, he was talking about just how bright the future is in the league in general with the great, talented young quarterbacks. And when you get to that stage on Championship Sunday, you've got some great, talented quarterbacks. Not all of them are young, but they're certainly great and talented. And then you've got other places where they're trying to find their great and talented quarterback.
Let's start with the Bears, Brad, and look at their bright, young, talented defensive coordinator. Sean Desai gets the job. He's the internal candidate. Been here since the Tressman era, worked his way up. What are reasonable expectations? And what do you know about him from having dealt with him through, I guess, three head coaches now?
Well, I think they're getting a guy that can potentially try to move this back in the direction it was going when Vic Fangio was here. He was an instrumental guy for Fangio when Vic was here. And Vic didn't have a prior relationship with him, but they kept Sean Desai when John Fox took over and Vic arrived with Fox. And he was a quick study. He was eager to learn, and he sort of made himself indispensable for Vic to the point that when Fangio departed after the 2018 season to become the head coach in Denver, he put in a request to try to bring Sean Desai with him. Now, the Bears went ahead and blocked that move, but he was a guy that Vic was hoping to take with him. Vic was able to get Ed Donatell because his contract with the Bears had expired, and the Bears replaced Brandon Staley, so Vic didn't need to put in a request for him either. So really, Sean Desai is the only guy that Vic Fangio requested to try to take with him to Denver. So I think with an interrupted off-season program again this year, it seems unlikely that they'll have a normal off-season program in terms of OTAs, mini camps, that keeping a guy who is the players are familiar with can help. I don't know it necessarily will, but that's a possible advantage there. He knows these guys. There doesn't have to be a ton of turnover here. So hopefully they can get it going back in the right direction because it wasn't an aberration. I don't think you can call it an aberration when they performed below the standard on defense for basically the entire second half of the season.
You know, Brett, I was talking to someone yesterday about Sean Desai and the idea that Vic wanted to take him with him. And I was saying, like, what a great feather in your cap to have a guy like Fangio that wants you. And this guy said, well, think about it. You know, he does stuff that Fangio doesn't do. You know, Fangio, we know what his strengths are, but his weaknesses might be connected to understanding analytics, having someone that can be there to give him things and explain them to him. But you got to wonder what does Sean Desai lack that Vic has, right? So it's one man's strength, another man's weaknesses. And I guess the answer, according to this guy, would be kind of practical experience at calling defenses within games. And I think it's a valid point because Sean Desai hasn't done it before. And Fangio can do it in his sleep.
Yeah, no, it's the unknown. He's the first-time defensive coordinator the Bears have had since Rod Marinelli in 2010, and I don't think you can compare Sean Desai to Rod Marinelli because Rod Marinelli had been in the NFL quite a bit longer, and I think he was a guy who was sort of promoted later than he should have been. Obviously, Marinelli was a head coach before he ever became a coordinator in the NFL because he had been paired up with Monty Kiffin for so long in Tampa Bay. Prior to that, they did try Bob Babich out at defensive coordinator, and that didn't work so well for the Bears when you talk about a guy with practical experience doing the job. So that's going to be a challenge for him, and it leads you to wonder if they will try to, in filling out the staff on that side of the ball, get some experienced coaches who could sort of provide a voice that might be able to help Sean out from time to time, because you have to imagine Matt Nagy is going to have his hands full with matters on the offensive side.
Brad, you wrote about the Matthew Stafford situation this morning in the Tribune. Nice column. And I don't think anybody expects, as you point out, that the Lions are going to make a trade within the division to the Bears, even if the Bears had enough to lure Stafford to Chicago. Ryan Pace has got to look into that probably. But the domino effect, supply and demand, the reality that other teams will want quarterbacks and that could create some openings that you might not see now. How does it affect the Bears as you look ahead and kind of project?
Yeah, I think you've got to hope that Stafford winds up with the team that currently has a quarterback that you might view as a reasonable bridge option for you. I don't see the Bears being able to fall into their next long-term quarterback this offseason. That seems implausible to me, unless they can get a miracle answered and find a way to get Deshaun Watson. I don't believe that's real likely either. But if Stafford goes to a team that has Jimmy Garoppolo, if he goes to the 49ers, how do they view Jimmy Garoppolo? He's been good at times. I don't know that he's viewed as a franchise guy anymore, but if he became available, does he fit into what they want to do? Could they make him fit in contract wise? You know, there's a ton of questions, but I think for the Stafford thing to benefit the Bears, basically Stafford's got to land somewhere that puts another quarterback standing with the music playing, looking for the chair to sit in as this game of musical chairs goes on this offseason. It's going to be really interesting because there's a ton of teams in need, and you could always have teams that appear to have their guy sort of jump into the fray as the Packers did a year ago when they traded up for Jordan Love.
Brad, when we think about Tom Brady and him signing as a free agent and getting to Tampa, and here he is in the Super Bowl yet again, I believe it's his 10th Super Bowl, and there's only been – this is the 55th. That's extraordinary when you stop and think about how many he's been to. But practically, was there ever a chance he'd come to Chicago? I know the Bears at one point were on a list that he was making of teams he might go to. I don't know that they ever pursued him. I don't know – you know, they wanted to run the scheme. They went after Nick Foles, and they got that done, and that's what they wanted to do. But – was that an oversight? Should you always try to get the best quarterback in the history of the game, maybe? What practically happened while we sit here and think about Tom Brady at the Super Bowl?
Well, I think you look at the pieces that Bruce Arians had there. He had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin at wide receiver. Yep. They had O.J. Howard, who's been out injured, and Cameron Brate at the tight end position. They had Ronald Jones at the running back position. They had some offensive firepower guys there, some weapons for the quarterback that made that super appealing to Tom Brady. You can't, even with you know, chugging down a pitcher of the Bears Kool-Aid and your you know, navy and orange shaded sunglasses on, tell me that the Bears skill position guys looked attractive this past offseason. I mean, get out of here. So I don't think there was any way Tom Brady would have had any interest whatsoever in coming to the Bears. Then you've got Bruce Arians, the coach, who's got a long established track record as a guy with success on offense around the NFL. Obviously, Byron Leftwich is a part of the success that they're having there now as well, the coordinator. So I think the idea that the Bears could have somehow enticed Tom Brady to come to Chicago is really kind of a joke. I don't think it's realistic, you know.
Brad, you heard Aaron Rodgers sound as frustrated as you're going to hear him sound after the game yesterday, and he was certainly seen to be directing his message and maybe frustration toward management about kind of creating some uncertainty around his future, whether or not that's realistic or not. But can you translate a little bit, knowing Rodgers as you do? Do you think that was just him blowing off steam? Do you think there's any possibility that he, you know, is closer to becoming an ex-Packer than moving in and taking that team back to the Super Bowl as he's been unable to do for a very long time? But yesterday he sounded like a really frustrated guy.
Yeah, certainly frustrated coming off of what is no doubt an MVP season. I saw a stat last night. I think in the Packers playoff losses with Rodgers at quarterback, they've allowed an average of 35 points a game, I think what the number was. So, you know, you've got to be really good to win those games when your defense is giving up five touchdowns a pop. But yeah, he's frustrated, and why wouldn't he be? You know, the Packers made a big dent in free agency going into the 2019 season, and then not so much this past year. And I don't think they want to get involved annually, but trading up to draft Jordan Love not only takes a first round pick out of the equation to help you win now. I think that cost him a fourth rounder, I believe, if I recall back to that deal. So you've taken two draft picks out of the mix of something that could come in and help you out. Is that a wide receiver? Is that, you know, a linebacker that's going to fill in on special teams? I don't know what it is, but Jordan Love was the number three this year, so he couldn't help them out. So he certainly got some frustration. His cap number is such in the contract is such that I don't think the Packers have a realistic chance to move on from him after this season, even if they wanted to, and clearly they don't, with him throwing, 48 touchdowns, five picks this year. But after the 2021 season, then it becomes a little bit more of a question, and then I think financially it's a possibility. So you can understand him being frustrated the way he was after that game concluded. That's a tough spot for any athlete to be in, and it'll be interesting to see how they react in Green Bay. Do we see a more aggressive Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, in mid-March when free agency opens up? Are they driven to, you know, hey, we've got 1, 2, maybe 3 years left with this guy at a high level. Let's unload and not take the long view at this roster.
Let's talk about the end of that game for a second. It was unbelievable. Rodgers flashes. He steps up in the pocket, and it looks like if he goes to the pylon to the right, it would have been a foot race between him and a linebacker. I'm not saying he definitely gets in. It looked like he could have, but he also would have put them in a very a good situation, maybe at the 2, the 1, whatever. They could have then maybe gone for it on fourth down instead of kicking a field goal there. Now, it looked like maybe he saw something flash, thought he could squeeze the ball into double coverage, but that was crazy that he did not run that ball. It just looked wrong.
Yeah, well, you had the best red zone offense since at least 2000. And the Packers didn't look like it in that game yesterday, right? I mean, they'd been deadly inside the 20-yard line all season, and they really struggled at times against the Bucs, and that ended up costing them. And I'm sure, and I'm not defending the decision by LaFleur to kick a field goal there with 2 minutes and change left on the clock, but I'm sure knowing that they had 4th and 8, and then they would have to turn around and get a play from the 2-yard line for a conversion to tie that thing, and they had struggled in the red zone in the game, probably was a factor in his mind. But if you're right, if Rodgers takes off there, I don't know if he gets in, but if he gets to the 2, 2.5, 1, then it's a no-brainer. They're going for it on 4th down, but they had struggles in the red zone earlier in that game that ended up being the difference. And it'll be interesting to see what the fallout is there. Is Mike Pettine the fall guy for the Packers at the end of the season? I don't know. But I think a lot of people will be curious to see what unfolds in Green Bay in the next 72 hours or so.
Great stuff, Brad. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
312-644-6767. I think it's a very rich topic of conversation. What should have happened at the end of that game? You know, I understand, David, the idea of extend the game, but you never got the ball back. That was their opportunity, and in retrospect, what a blown chance.
Yeah, when you think that you have a better chance of stopping the greatest quarterback ever than you do of having your own quarterback, who's great in his own right, score from the 8, I don't know if those are analytics you trust.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.